have your Bibles, if you would turn, please, excuse me, to the book of Obadiah. Again, if you can find Daniel, just go over to the right about three or four books. Hosea, Joel, Amos, then you'll find Obadiah. Probably about one page or two in your text. Our scripture today, about the middle of verse 15, down through verse 21. Into verse 15, we will begin. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion there will be deliverance. It will be holy. The house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. The house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. The house of Esau will be stubble, and they will set it on fire and consume it. There will be no survivors from the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau. And the kingdom will be the Lord's. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask now, humbly entreating you to send your spirit to take the humble and halting words of the preacher, fill them with power, the power of your Holy Spirit to change hearts and lives, to penetrate to the core of our being, or to wield this sharp sword of the word, to penetrate the deepest recesses of our heart. Lord, that we might truly hear your voice this day. Lord, our prayer is that we would hear your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. For Christians who are more comfortable, who find it more comforting to dwell on a God who only exudes love and generosity, this little book of Obadiah is a very pertinent reminder, is a great portrait of a God who is the indignant judge of all those who attack him, his people, his word, and his church. Theme of this little book of Obadiah is retributive justice. The thing people don't want to hear very much about. It's a thing that many people like to say is confined to the Old Testament, even though that's not true. The theme of this book is the fact that God will have his justice. He will bring down on the heads of those who have done these things their own deeds. Our text today begins with those words. As you have done, it will be done to you. God's goal is the completion of his kingdom. Therefore, it is necessary that all that stands opposed to his kingdom should be destroyed. We pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. The coming of the Lord's kingdom necessarily means the destruction of the kingdom of the world and the flesh and the devil. God's kingdom will come. God, therefore, is the righteous judge who metes out the appropriate punishment, the justice that so many deserve, who have opposed him, who have attacked his people and his kingdom. And that's what we see in this little book, very short book. But it's very clear that God dispenses this justice. And it is the legal application of this, the lex talionis, the law of retaliation, an eye for an eye, that God will exact. God, the righteous judge, will bring this about. And he reverses the things that we see around us. This little book contains at least 11 reversals. And all of those reversals, even though they are in and of themselves of great consequence and importance, they point us to the great reversal, the greatest reversal of all. Now, last week we saw some indications of these reversals. God said to Edom, he said to all the nations who puffed themselves up, he said, if you raise yourself up, even if you raise yourself as high as the stars, God says, I will bring you down. You who consider yourselves great will be made small. Those of you who consider yourselves to be strong, those who look to your own strength and your own power, will be made to feel very vulnerable. As you have done, it will be done to you, he said. We saw that last week. As the Edomites waited at the crossroads to cut off the escape of those who were fleeing from Jerusalem, they cut off their escape. They were waiting to cut them down. God says, so you, Edom, will be cut down. You will be cut off, he says, forever. Notice an ironic reversal here in our text today. God says, as you drank on my holy hill, when the temple was destroyed, desecrated, when Jerusalem was destroyed, it's said that the Edomites and some of the other nations who were with them engaged in this drunken revelry on the side of the temple, celebrating the destruction of the temple, celebrating the end of the Jewish nation and this temple that was dedicated to the worship of God. There they engage in their revelry and their carousing and their drunkenness. And God says, as you drank there, so you will drink and drink and drink and drink continually. Drinking in the Old Testament often prefigures, as it does here, drinking the cup of the Lord's wrath. They desecrated the site of the temple. But God says here that Mount Zion will be holy. They desecrate it, God makes it holy. They engage in their drunken revelry. God says, if you want to drink, they'll be drinking aplenty. You will drink continually from the cup of my wrath. God at times makes his own people taste the cup of his wrath. At times he punishes them. He punished Jerusalem. He punished Israel. And he used the Babylonians here in case at hand. But what the world confuses is that God brings this judgment on his people, as any good father brings punishment on his children. And they taste the cup of God's wrath. But those who often are the instruments that God uses, those ungodly, unholy ones who revel in the destruction of God's people, they not only get to taste the cup, they get to drink it, and drink it, and drink it down to the very last drop. But God's wrath is never assuaged. There is no last drop. They will drink it continually, forever. This is just an outworking, a fulfillment of that promise God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3. Those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. God reverses these things that seem sometimes so terrible, so frightening, so at a loss we are sometimes to know what to do. Another case in point, they burned the temple of the Lord with fire. They, after they had taken everything of value, the Babylonians, and after the Edomites had come and looted everything else that was left, they burned the temple of the Lord. But God says that Jacob will be a fire and Joseph will be a flame. Notice that. The divided kingdom will be one. They will be a fire and a flame. And Esau will be stubble. He will be like dry grass that's burned up so easily. Just a spark is all it takes. All those who are opposed to God will be like stubble. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 24, he likens the dry grass and the straw, which are licked up by flames of fire. He likens that to those who have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty, he says, and spurned the Holy One of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 20 says that his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. He says, I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I can't hold it in. Malachi chapter 3 says that Christ, when he comes, will be like a refiner's fire. The word of God, the gospel, is a fire that burns up the dry, grass-like excuses of the unbelievers. It consumes the hypocrisy of those who are right in their own eyes. And it burns the vengeance of God upon the enemies of his church, his kingdom, and his people. It consumes those who are opposed to God himself. The next reversal or series of reversals are somewhat connected here. You know, when the Babylonians came, when they broke through the walls of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount was not a place you wanted to be. It was a place from which you wanted to flee. It's a place that you wanted to leave as quickly as you could. God says here that on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It won't be a place to run away from. It'll be a place from which you're saved. And when the Babylonians got through with Jerusalem and Israel, they had no home. They had no land. They had no country. But God says that they will occupy this place. They will come back and they will take possession of this, not only the land that they had before, but those descriptions that we read there in the text. The territory will reach out to the boundaries of the former Davidic kingdom. It will even go farther than that. All the inhabitants of the world will become the possession of God's people. Those who have no home, those who have no place, those who are ostracized by the world, those who are outcast by the world will have a place. The meek, those who are downtrodden, those who are assaulted and attacked because of the word of God, Jesus says, will inherit the earth. The meek, those who belong to Christ, will inherit the earth. The inhabitants of the earth will become their possession. They will rule them with Christ. What a reversal. You see, what we see here, what we see in this prophecy about Edom, is a reversal of the power, the strength, the authority, these world systems. Edom's going to be brought down. Edom, as we said last week, is having her day. Like I said last week, every dog has his day. Edom's having her day. But it's going to come to naught. It's going to come to nothing. It's going to come to less than nothing. There will be no survivors from the house of Esau, God says. The Lord has spoken. It's not just Esau. It's not just Edom. It's this world system, this world powers, these ones who are so adamant, so determined to bring down God's church and God's people and His kingdom. They're on a fool's errand. They may be strong today. They may be powerful today. They may be succeeding in some ways today. They may be persecuting, killing, and triumphing over God's people today in some way. But that's not going to be the end result. That's foreshadowed here in what we see. There was not a day worse in the life of Israel up until this time than the day the Babylonians came. The temple of the Lord, the city of Jerusalem, was laid waste, and their country was gone, and they were carried into captivity 70 years. There was no Israel. It was only superseded by what happened at the hands of the Romans in 70 AD. And for almost 2,000 years, there was no Israel. These things come. And they come at the hand of God. They come to chastise, punish His people. And yet, God says He will reverse those things. These things will be turned on their head. God's people will one day rule. God's people will one day reign under their head, Jesus Christ. We will sit with Him on His throne and judge the nations, the Scripture says. The nations that are so opposed and so adamant in their opposition to God. Obadiah's prophecy concerns Edom. It is a prophecy in the near term for the Edomites and what's going to happen to them. But within this Prophecy is an anticipation. Anticipation of what's coming. Yes, it's about Edom. It's definitely about Edom, and hindsight shows it's exactly what transpired, what happened to Edom. And even though there is no direct messianic prophecy in this book, if you look at this last section of the book, there's definitely an anticipation, a foreshadowing of the coming of Christ. Obadiah says the kingdom will be the Lord's. Jesus Christ's kingdom will come. And for that kingdom to come, these other kingdoms have to be destroyed. They have to be reduced to nothing. Christ's kingdom comes. Obadiah looked. He looked forward. He says on Mount Zion there will be deliverance. We look backwards and say on Mount Zion there was deliverance. For the Lord himself came. Great reversal took place there. The greatest reversal of all. The nations that were opposed to him, the world system, all the forces of evil that were marshaled against him, met in battle there on Calvary, and Jesus Christ won. He triumphed over every foe. But the other reversal that took place there was the reversal of the enmity between God and man. Those who are opposed to God. Those who are his enemies. What is foreshadowed in this book? What is explained in this book? Those who are the objects of God's wrath become the objects of his mercy. Those who are the objects of God's wrath and his pouring out of that wrath eventually became the objects of his mercy. All of us at one time were under God's wrath. We were sinners. God had mercy upon us. He sent his son Jesus Christ to come. And there on Mount Zion, there was deliverance. There on Mount Zion, we came into possession, as verse 17 says, of a great inheritance. We became joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Those who had nothing, those who were downtrodden and meek and weak and overcome by the great enemy, Satan, by sin, were delivered and were ushered into a tremendous eternal inheritance that cannot spoil or fade, that is kept for us in heaven. What a reversal. The great reversal of all. And Obadiah says, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. There's such simplicity and brevity in Scripture, sometimes it's hard to fathom. It's only three words in the Hebrew. And the kingdom will be the Lord's. The kingdom of Edom will be destroyed. The kingdoms of this world will be destroyed. There will be one flock and one shepherd, and Jesus Christ will be all in all, and the kingdom will be his. That's what his people, regardless of the situation, regardless of what the world may throw at us, it's been brought to our attention very graphically in the last couple of days that we live in an evil place. This world is full of evil. There are people in this world who care nothing for God. They care nothing for His people. They care nothing for humanity. And we dwell in the midst of that. But all that's going to be reversed. Jesus Christ is the King. And the kingdom will be His. The kingdom of this world, we read earlier, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And His people are gathered there. And He is a God of retributive justice. And there will be a judgment. And all those who are opposed to Him will face His wrath. They will face the fire that consumes His enemies. And they will drink the wrath, every last drop, from the cup that never runs dry. And His people will dwell in safety. They will have a glorious inheritance. And as you have done, He says it will be done to you. As you have done. As you have put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, as you have done, or perhaps we should say, as Christ has done in you, so it will be done to you. Inheritance beyond comprehension, peace, deliverance, security, forever. However, for those who insist on doing it in their own strength, looking to their own power, and looking to their own righteousness, and looking to their own good deeds to save them, as they have done, it will be done to them. Their deeds will return upon their own head. The Lord has spoken. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You that You are the Lord of heaven and earth, that You are our great King and Savior. Lord, we have nothing to fear from the world, anything in it, or the way in which You work these things for Your own glory, for the coming of Your own kingdom, for the destruction of the kingdoms of this world and the flesh and the devil. Lord, we may be caught up in those things at times. But Lord, we have this assurance that all those things are going to be reversed. Jesus Christ is going to be King of kings and Lord of lords, as He is and has ever been, and every person on this earth who ever lived will acknowledge that, either willingly or under compulsion. They will recognize His lordship, and every knee will bow before Him. Lord, that is our hope. That is our deliverer. That is our inheritance, for we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank You. Lord, if there be any that are in the sound of this, who ever hear this, who do not know Christ as Savior, Lord, pray that they would understand You are the righteous judge, and You are an indignant judge. You are indignant with those who refuse Your free offer of salvation. You're indignant with those who would seek their own way, who think their way of salvation is sufficient, that You have to accept them. Lord, open their eyes that they may see the truth. Change their hearts that they might believe and be saved, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.